Welcome to the New Braunfels OPC Sermon Archive. New Braunfels OPC is a mission work of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and desires to proclaim the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ to New Braunfels and the surrounding communities. Today's sermon is preached by Pastor Carl Miller. Let's listen in.
Well, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, please turn with me to the book of Ephesians. We're moving into chapter 3, the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Before we hear the reading and preaching of God's word, let's go before him together in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we come now to your word. Lord, it is a great gift that you have given to us, indeed, in which you reveal your will to us. Your word is wonderful. It is rich. It is deep. We pray, Lord, that your spirit would be at work in us now, opening our eyes and our hearts to see the wonderful truths therein, to see and to better appreciate and adore our Lord Jesus. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Hear now the very word of God written for you and for me today. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles. If indeed you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. Amen. Thus far, the reading of his holy word. Well, congregation of the Lord, Paul has taught us as his redeemed that it's important for us to know and have a wonder-filled understanding of God's amazing grace. That has been an ongoing connected theme in this epistle, hasn't it? In fact, God's desire in revealing what he has is to show us the riches of his grace to the praise of the glory of his grace. And God has revealed to us his sovereign election and predestination. Paul has taught us that we need to know and more deeply grasp the wonders of our Savior Jesus Christ and his work for us. We need to know the why and the how of our salvation. We need to know the blessings and the benefits of our union with Christ. We need to know the greatness of our God and of his power, of Christ's exaltation and Christ's reign and dominion over all things, and the glorious inheritance that is ours in him. And further, it's essential for us to know how we have been saved by grace through faith in Christ. Gentiles who were once foreigners and godless in the world have been brought near by the blood of Christ. In fact, Christ is our peace, who has made believing Jews and Gentiles one, united together in Christ, made to be one body in the church. And further, that body is grounded and stands on the most firm of foundations. Through Christ, you have free access to the Father by the Spirit. These were the big messages in chapter 2 that Paul taught us in recent weeks. It's true that we need to know and live according to our status of being citizens of heaven and members of God's household as well. Beloved, don't forget the rights and the privileges and the responsibilities that come with your citizenship. You have a right to be fed and to be nourished by God's word. You have the privilege to sit under the preaching of God's word each Lord's Day. You have the right to come to the Lord's Supper. You have the responsibility to God and your fellow citizens, your brothers and sisters, to love and to encourage and to serve each other well. You have a responsibility to stand for and to defend the truth. We have a responsibility to stand for Christ and his crown in the midst of darkness and perversity. And there's plenty of that on our doorstep, flourishing in our society, even creeping into the broader church. Christ's church must resist and expel it in all of its forms. And these rights and privileges are those that we must use, beloved. Be faithful in carrying out your responsibilities before the Lord. We are citizens and members in one body, who God has built on the firm foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Christ builds his church on the foundation of truth that the apostles and the prophets declared, defended, upheld, and have called God's people to return to when they stray. And this foundation is one that Christ himself is a part of, even as he is the chief cornerstone that holds the church together. He is growing us into a holy temple. He is building us together as a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And it's considering this backdrop that Paul pauses in his train of thought in today's text to explain his own ministry and insight into the union of the Jews and the Gentiles being brought together in Christ. He teaches us about the revealing of this mystery. And in fact, Paul spends all of chapter 3 focusing on the revelation of the mystery, the purpose of the mystery, as well as his prayer for our appreciation of the mystery. And so this morning, we will consider God's revelation of this ministry or mystery to Paul in verses 1 through 4. As well as the mystery revealed to his people in verses 5 and 6. So let's begin by looking at God's revelation of the mystery to Paul. Look at verse 1 and 2. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. So at the beginning of this book, Paul introduced himself as Paul the Apostle. Why does he begin chapter 3 then referring to himself as Paul the prisoner of Christ? Well, my friends, he wanted to emphasize the importance and the greatness of the gospel, even that which he just wrote of and declared in the preceding chapters. Taking the gospel of Jesus Christ forth to the Gentiles was of such importance and was so worthy as he faithfully carried out Christ's commission that Paul was willing to suffer and die for doing so. Paul indeed did suffer for the sake of Christ and his church. Remember that Paul wrote Ephesians while he was under house arrest in Rome. He was arrested for doing what? For preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. And yet Paul served Christ, his master, even while in prison, even while in chains. And Paul wasn't only a prisoner because of his undying commitment to service to Christ, whatever the cost, but he was also a prisoner of Christ in that he was bound to Christ. He was a bond servant of Christ. And in many ways, that term, being a bondservant of Christ, as we were slaves to sin, similarly, as Christ has freed us and redeemed us, we are now slaves of Christ. Paul belonged to Christ. And therefore, he was bound to do his Savior's will and fulfill his ministry. Now, why does Paul digress here in the beginning of chapter 3 and focus on his ministry to the Gentiles and sharing, you know, opening a window and sharing that aspect with the saints now? He wanted to reassure them. He wanted to reassure the saints in Ephesus to not lose heart about his imprisonment. His ministry to them continued to be strong. His imprisonment was, quote, for their glory, he says in verse 13 of this chapter. We'll consider that more next week, Lord willing. And though Paul was chained, and I've said this many times before, but hear it again, as it is the truth of the Lord from his word, as Paul was chained, the gospel wasn't chained. The gospel isn't chained today. And not only did Paul's writings go forth, like this epistle and others, but so did his preaching. The very thing he was arrested for doing, Paul kept doing. He couldn't but do that. This was his call. The Spirit was working in him. This was his commission to take the gospel forth to the nations, to take the gospel forth to the Gentiles. And we find this to be true in Acts chapter 28. In Acts 28, verse 16, we read there, Now when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. And then look again in verses 30 and 31. Then Paul, who dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. Hear that. He did the thing that he was arrested for doing. He preached Christ. He taught Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. Truly, a work and an act of our God. But consider also Paul's words to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 12. He told Timothy, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And note verse 10, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that last day. So as we think about even those great and strong and powerful words regarding the work of God, Paul's calling and what he was doing in carrying out the calling that his Lord had given him, and the things that he was encouraging Timothy about. Don't be ashamed. I'm not ashamed. You don't be ashamed. Continue to fulfill your calling with great zeal as to your master, under his commission, under his call. With every breath until your dying breath, proclaim Christ and him crucified. But consider what he says here in Ephesians 3, verse 2. If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, Beloved, Paul was a steward of the grace of God to the people. He was a steward of the grace of God to the people. Paul never got over the grace of God in his life. And frankly, neither should we in ours. He never got over the grace of God in his life. It was fresh. It was lively. It was impactful. It was meaningful. It was undeserved. Every last bit of it. But God gave it and gave it and gave it. And as Paul received, he couldn't but be thankful for that. He couldn't but share that with others. And further, Paul was committed to proclaiming that grace far and wide. And in verse 2, here Paul assumes that the people heard this of this aspect of his ministry in the words that he has already shared in this letter. Now, the Greek word for dispensation is oikonomia, which can refer to the management of household affairs or others' property. And this is what a steward is. He is one who cares for someone else's estate or for the purposes of his master. Paul here is speaking of the arrangement that God made in granting Paul to carry and entrusting him with the faithful proclamation of the good news of Christ to the Gentiles. And Paul points to his stewardship of grace that he has communicated to them already. But he's wanting them to remember. He's wanting them to remember and to make that connection with what he is saying here. And even bring that to their recollection, that they may be thinking about that as they read what else he has to say. But notice verses 3 and 4. How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. My friends, what is this mystery? Many people, many of you, myself, we like a good mystery today, don't we? A mystery is something that's unknown at the time, but it isn't unknowable. And in fact, when we watch mystery shows or read mystery books, we are quickly presented with a puzzle that needs to be solved by human reason and deduction. However, Paul's use of the word mystery, or mysterion in the Greek, couldn't be further from that. Paul's use of mystery here is used of something that can't be deduced by human wisdom. No matter how hard we would try, no matter how close we would be to Sherlock Holmes or to others, right? Ain't going to happen. The mystery that Paul is referring to here can only be known when the Holy Spirit reveals it. And this is exactly how God entrusted Paul with such knowledge. Not by investigation, but by revelation. And we see that time and again in the scriptures, don't we? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, fill in the blanks. People who knew the law, people who knew the scriptures, but yet were still blind as bats when it comes to understanding what they meant, what they were pointing to, what they were to do, what God was commanding of them. They were blind. It's not by investigation, but by revelation. And God opened Paul's understanding with insight and knowledge of the mystery by revealing it to him. This wasn't Paul's idea. It wasn't Paul's gospel. Paul didn't sit back and put the picture together all by himself and then say, "Man, I've got to go tell the people now of what I've figured out." No. This is God's gospel. This is divine revelation. Remember Paul's words to the churches in Galatia regarding the revelation of the gospel. You can turn with me there if you'd like. Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 11. Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 11. There we read, "But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus." And so, my friends, we have the mystery of Christ revealed, not investigated. And this insight that Paul told the Ephesians about wasn't for Paul's ears and eyes, wasn't for his heart, his understanding only either. It is a heavenly message given to earthly messengers to proclaim to the ends of the earth. And notice how Paul said that he desired that the saints read this letter so that they would gain his insight and knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Paul wasn't selfish. Paul wasn't a PhD theologian, maybe multiple PhD theologian, who acquired all of this depth of understanding and knowledge and then just kind of compartmentalized or organized it so it was only available in his lecture series on whatever doctrine he was teaching on. He didn't do that. He put it all there. By the direction of the Holy Spirit, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, by the plan of God, he shared and shared openly with God's people what he had gained insight to and knowledge of in this mystery. And so as the Ephesians were to read this epistle for such insight, we too must do the same. In fact, we have gained so much understanding thus far, haven't we, even in other important doctrines that the Lord has revealed to us. But do you seek to understand the mystery of Christ, my friends? Do you seek to understand the mystery of Christ? Paul again drives home the need for spirit-guided, prayerful, and faithful study of the Scriptures, that we would grow more and more in our knowledge and insight to the mystery of Christ. For God's Word is the means of grace whereby He reveals to us His will for our salvation. Read it diligently, my friends. Lay it up in your hearts. Sit under the preached word regularly, for that is where it's proclaimed, and treasure what you have been given in the Holy Scriptures. For it truly is a gift. The Spirit's work of illumination is opening your eyes to see and to understand, to be able to grow more deeply in the truth is a gift. It's his work. But Paul goes on to say that it was a message not previously revealed. Look at verse 5. He says, "Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets." Do we not see the connection here in his words just a few verses prior regarding the foundation of what the church is built on? It's built on the solid foundation of the apostles and the prophets. It's built on the solid foundation that has Christ as its chief cornerstone. The Old Testament silence about this revealed mystery was relative, not absolute. Keep that in mind. For this was anticipated by the prophets. If you look at the prophet Isaiah, for example, chapter 19. Isaiah chapter 19, verses 24 and 25, we read there, "In that day Israel will be one of three with Egypt and Assyria, and blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, Blessed is Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance." In Acts chapter 26, verses 22 and 23, we also read there, "Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those, note, which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, and that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles." Beloved, living on this side of the cross, where all is revealed in Christ so much clearer, you and I have a great privilege as we have free and clear access to the throne of grace through Christ's shed blood. We have a privilege that others did not have in such clarity. We have the mystery revealed in the pages of Holy Scripture. And so therefore, all the more the need, again, to study and to grow in this knowledge and to impart these truths, these insights to your children. Children, listen up today. Hear these words from the Apostle Paul. Hear these words. Take them to heart. Have this caused you to want to study more with your parents, with your family? Hear the wonderful truths about what Christ has done in his unity and bringing peace among his people in the church. And what is the mystery Paul was enlightened to? Well, look at verse 6. "That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel." And now we've talked about this quite a bit. We've looked at these passages in chapter 2, right, where Paul laid out and built this argument over the second half of chapter 2, right? This mystery, the details of chapter 6. Now should make a connection. We should see the connectedness to what he said in chapter 2. It's nothing that's new or novel or earth-shattering just here in verse 6. But he's making that connection. What I taught you, what I revealed to you and taught you about the reality of what Christ has done in breaking down the middle wall of separation, in making Jews and Gentiles one in the body of Christ, that is the mystery of Christ that has been revealed. And if you think about it, that was quite a mystery, definitely from a human perspective, that Christ would do and did such a thing through his death, that he did break down that wall and that the Gentiles were brought into the church. My friends, again, because of the great work of Christ and his death and his resurrection for us, we not only have life in him, but we have access in Christ. We are joint heirs of the inheritance. We are part of the same body. We are partakers of his promises in Christ. Paul can't say this enough. Paul can't repeat himself enough. Paul can't dive in and unfold this even more enough for that truth to not be still all the more glorious in our hearts and minds. Consider what Paul said to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 13, where he summed this up beautifully. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. One body in Christ, mystery revealed by the Spirit of God to his people. What a unique and special gift. What a glorious gift that let's never forget. And beloved, as we belong to Christ, as he is our master, we are prisoners of his, and that's a good thing. That's a very good thing. Paul wasn't ashamed of it, and neither should we. Are you prepared to live as his prisoner, like Paul did, even and especially when that means you suffering for his sake? As persecution continues to be on the rise against Christ's church, even today, we talk about it all the time, we hear about it, we hear stories here and there, stories that are concerning, stories that are discouraging, maybe even stories that are troubling. Persecution is on the rise against Christians. But Christ is still on the throne. He is ruler, and he has dominion over all as sovereign king, period. He laughs from his throne at the wiles of men, for they that know not who he is. But they will. As this continues to rise against his church, as we take a stand for Christ, as we continue to preach and proclaim the pure gospel, be ready for what the world will bring against us. All the while knowing that God's word isn't chained and will continue to go forth in power. And Christ will continue to build his church, even and especially in the midst of persecution. Let us not be discouraged otherwise. Go back and read the book of Acts and be encouraged and uplifted in your hearts. For as persecution rose from many occasions and many sides, Christ's church, his kingdom, expanded and boomed and grew beyond anybody's belief. The gates of hell will not prevail, my friends, against Christ's kingdom and its advance. And what a wonderful mystery has been revealed to us. We didn't discover it with human wisdom or deduction, but the Spirit has graciously turned the lights on and revealed Christ's love and his work for his church, Jews and Gentiles being brought together in him. May we prayerfully and faithfully study the Scriptures. May we also be faithful and have zeal, like Paul, to share the insight and the knowledge that we receive, that we've been given with others. Amen. Praise God for his word. Let's pray.
Thanks for listening. We hope that you are blessed by what you heard today. To listen to more New Braunfels OPC sermons or to find more information about our church, please visit our website at www.nbopc.org.